Mostly, of course, the devotees are all from India. But they were even restricting India devotees from going in there, too. Yeah, there was some, also, there was some politics involved, too, and so, of course, some economics. We don't criticize, but it's kind of sad when you can't get in to see the deity.
You know, the smaller matter, are they able to visit the temple about 5 years ago?
How much did you have to pay something? We got some prasadam outside, but we couldn't get in. So we're on 26 to 34. So what I'm going to do, in order to get some congruency. I don't know how this has developed, but my experience in years and years in Krishna consciousness is that when there is a verse that has no purport, and then a purport verse comes up later on, we do the next verse. We do the verse without the purport. We chant the Sanskrit. And then the speaker reads in the Sanskrit and English, and then he goes on, and eventually comes to the verse we do. That's the way I've always done it. Now there seems to be a new system, which makes it difficult because you skip all these verses when you read the one you're doing, and breaks the whole theme, and you have to go back and read the other ones. So my idea, I think it's better just to do the next verse in line and put that on the board. And that way the reader can just read till he gets to the purport.
Which verse is written on the board?
34. But we're skipping, you know, we're going 8 verses ahead. That means the whole theme practically is missed. So I'm going to do 26 and then read up to 20 to 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 8, text 8, canto 8, chapter 8, text number 26. Sankhyaturya Maganganam Vaditranam Pratuswana Devanuganam Sastrinam Nityatam Gayatam Abhut. Translation: the inhabitants of Gandharva Loka and Charana Loka then took the opportunity to play their musical instruments, such as conch shells, bugles, and drums. They began dancing and singing along with their wives. So the theme is, now the goddess of fortune has selected Narayan as her husband. So everyone is dancing and chanting, feeling so happy. Text number 27. Brahma Rudra Kiro Mukya Sarvi Vishwa Srijo Vibhum Idire Vitatar Mantras Tarlinga Pushpa Varsinaha. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the great sage Angira, and similar directors of the universal management showered flowers and chanted mantras indicating the transcendental glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 28. Shiva Lokita Devaha Samprajapataya Pajaham Shiladiguna Sampanam Lebide Nirvitamparam. All the demigods, along with the Prajapatis and their descendants, being blessed by Lakshmi Devi's glance upon them, were immediately enriched with good behavior and transcendental qualities. Thus they were very much satisfied. Text 29. Nisattva Lolupa Rajan Nirudyoga Gata Tapaha Yara Chopa Shita Lakshma Bahu Bor Daitya Danabaha. Translation: O King, because of being neglected by the goddess of fortune, the demons and the rakshasas were depressed, bewildered and frustrated, and thus they became shameless. Asa atasit varuni devi kanyakamala lochana asura jagadus tambai hare anumatena se. Translation. Next appeared Varuni, the lotus-like goddess who controls drunkards. We need some of her Shakti here sometimes. With the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the demons headed by Bali Maharaj took possession of this young girl. The demons take possession of things involved with intoxication. Text 31. Ato dadeer mata manhat kasyapayar amrita tibihi udatistan maharaja purusha paramabhuta. O king, thereafter the sons of Kashyapa, both demons and demigods, were engaged in churning the ocean of milk. Then a wonderful male person appeared. Text 32. Dirgapivara dordanda kambhu grivar neshenaha shamalastanuna swagvi sarvabharana bhusitaha. Translation. He was strongly built. His arms were long, stout, and strong. His neck, which was marked with three lines, resembled a conch shell. His eyes were reddish, and his complexion was blackish. He was very young, and he was garlanded with flowers, and his entire body was fully decorated with various ornaments. Text 33. Pita Vlasam Mohoraksaka Sumirstam Manikundalaha Snigda Kunchita Keshanta Subhaga Simhavakramaha Amrita Puna Lak Kamala Kalama Kalasa Vibra Valya Bhusitaha. Translation. He was dressed in yellow garments and wore brightly polished earrings made of pearls. The tips of the hairs were anointed with oil, and his chest was very broad. His body had all good features. He was stout and strong like a lion, and he was decorated with bangles. In his hand he carried a jug filled to the top with nectar. So who is this person?
Dhanvantari.
Text 34. Shivaya Bhagavata Shakshad Vishnu Amsamsa Sambhavaha. That's the verse on the board. Oh. Leave off. Okay. Sa Vai Bhagavata Saksat Vishnur Amsamsa Sambhavaha Danvatarir Iti Kyata Ayurveda Vrig Idya Bhak. Savai Bhagavatam Shaksa Vishnu Am Shamsa Sambhavaha Danvatarir Iti Kyata Ayurveda Drig Itya Bhak. Savai Bhagavatam Saksa Vishnu Am Shamsa Sambhavaha Danvatare Iti Kyata Ayurveda Drig Itya Bhak.
Thank you.
And Mother Sarvaganti? If you're doing something other than class, it should not be done now. Time is, you can do that later. Okay? You want to try the verse? You don't have to try. But. Okay, so we'll go on to the translation. Sahi. Vaini. Indeed. Bhagavata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Saksad. Directly. Vishnu. Of Lord Vishnu. Amsa Amsa Sambhavaha. Incarnation of the plenary portion of a plenary portion. Danvatari. Danvatari. Iti. Thus. Kyata. Celebrated. In Hindi, the word, what is it? Kya. Kyata means something else, right? Kya. When you say kya, it means. What is that? Yeah. But in. Yeah. Kyata. Kya. But here it's celebrated. Ayurveda Drik. Fully conversant in the medical science. Ijabak. One of the demigods eligible to share the benefits of sacrifices. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This person was Danvantari, a plenary portion of a plenary portion of Lord Vishnu. He was very conversant with the science of medicine, and as one of the demigods, he was permitted to take a share of the sacrifices. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya remarks, Tesham satyach chalanartyam kalir danvantari vibhu samarto pyasuram tu swahastan amuchat sudam. Danvantari, who was carrying the jug containing nectar, was a plenary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although he was very strong, the asuras were able to take the jug of nectar from his hands. I'll go on. Text 35. Tamalokya sura sarve kalasam jam chamritam ritam lipshanta sarvastuni kalasam tarasam haran. Upon seeing Danvantari carrying the jug of nectar, the demons, desiring the jug and its contents, immediately snatched it away by force. Niyamane surastas min kalasam ritam vajane vishanam manaso deva harim saranam ayayahu. When the jug of nectar was carried off by the demons, the demigods were morose. Thus, they took shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 37. Iti tad daimya alokya bhagavan vritta kama krit ma kityata mirt When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always desires to fulfill the ambitions of his devotees, saw that the demigods were morose, he said to them, "Do not be aggrieved. By my own energy I shall bewilder the demons by creating a quarrel amongst them. In this way I shall fulfill your desire to have the nectar." Text 38. Mittakalir abhutesham tar arte tarshis chetasam ahampurvam ahampurvam natvam natvam iti prabho. Translation and purport. O king, a quarrel then arose amongst the demons over who could get the nectar first. Each of them said, "You cannot drink it first. It must be drunk by me. Me first, not you." Purport. This is the symptoms of the demons. The first concern of a non-devotee is how to enjoy his personal sense gratification at once, whereas the devotee's first concern is to satisfy the Lord. This is the distinction between the non-devotee and the devotee. In this material world, since most people are non-devotees, they regularly compete, fight, disagree, and war amongst themselves, for everyone wants to enjoy and satisfy his own senses. Therefore, unless such demons become Krishna conscious and are trained to satisfy the senses of the Lord, There could be no question of peace in human society, or any society, even that of the demigods. The demigods and devotees, however, always surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus the Lord is always anxious to satisfy their ambitions. While the demons fight to satisfy their own senses, devotees engage in devotional service to satisfy the senses of the Lord. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be alert in regard to this point, and then their preaching of the Krishna conscious movement will be successful. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavti Tam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Rayam Kadati Swam Padatikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranam Yana Advaita Kadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavindu Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So in the previous translation, it says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always desired to fulfill the ambitions of his devotees. So Krishna says, Samoham Sabhabhuteshu Name Dvesha Sthina Priya. Krishna says, I am equal to everyone. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. But whoever renders devotional service to me is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to them. So the Lord gives assurance in Bhagavad Gita that he is equally disposed to all living beings. But his equality is understood according to how one approaches the Lord. Yayatam mam prapajyante tam sthitaiva prajami aham mamavart manuvartante manusaparta sarvasyaham. Krishna responds exactly how we approach him. We approach Krishna for sense gratification, we get one thing. If we approach Krishna for love, we get something else, or for service. So people in the material world complain, why is God acting like this, or why is God doing this, or why is God not doing this? Well, God is doing or not doing in terms of his material energy according to how people approach him. Whatever the living entity approaches, then they get a reciprocal response to that approach. So therefore the Lord is equal in terms of how we approach. It's like Krishna is like a mirror. Whatever you hold in front of the mirror, that's what you see. So we can never blame God for being inadequate, impartial, or not on the job. He's working 24 hours a day, every day of the year, simply to satisfy the demands of the living entity, but now those demands are in relationship to what one wants. When you want Krishna, then you get Krishna. When you want sense gratification in the name of Krishna consciousness, you don't get Krishna, you get something else. Of course, for a devotee, because a devotee is engaged into Krishna consciousness, although they still have desires for sense gratification, the Lord is expert in taking away those desires for sense gratification, but at the same time keeping the person engaged in devotional service. That's Krishna's special mercy for his devotees. He doesn't exactly fulfill their desires in Krishna consciousness for sense gratification, but he makes it in such a way as to gradually they lose their desires for sense gratification and ultimately desire only devotional service. But sometimes Krishna will give or fulfill material desires for one who is engaged in devotional service. But he explains, I do that maybe once or twice. In order to see if that fulfillment of a material desire, it helps that person to, in the long run, engage in devotional service. But if it doesn't, then ultimately he doesn't continue to fulfill one's desires for sense gratification. So here Prabhupada is explaining that the difference between the demons and the devotees is one wants to satisfy the Lord and the other one wants to satisfy one's own selfish desires. And you see here, even this particular pastime, even amongst the demons, because they're demons, they're fighting amongst themselves. They make some plan to organize their strength in order to achieve their goal. But then when they achieve it, then they try to fight amongst themselves to see who gets the results. So demons are like that. You cannot trust one who cannot control their mind and senses. Therefore, devotees, they're not interested in satisfying themselves, because they know that whatever I need, if I disengage in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will supply. Krishna will supply. And if I don't get what I need, what I think I need, that means I didn't need it. We think we need so many things, and we're waiting for Krishna to supply our material needs, and he's not doing it. Maybe it's we don't need it. Or he's hoping that we lose that desire by engaging in devotional service. So there's two ways to fulfill a desire. There's one is you get what you want, or another way is that you get something better, and that replaces that. And then you give up that. Well, of course, that is what Krishna is trying to do, give something better in place of our desires for sense gratification. So Prabhupada explains in this very last sentence of this chapter that one of the most important points in pushing on this movement of Krishna consciousness is this simple little ideas that try to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Try to satisfy Krishna's senses. Krishna is called Rishikesha, that means he's the master of all senses. And our senses become satisfied when we try to satisfy Krishna. So that is pretty much the meditation of the devotee, how to satisfy Krishna. That's all. It's a simple process, although it seems to be very simple. Still, the conditioned soul under the influence of the material energy is always calculating how they can somehow or other fulfill their own needs at the same time engage in devotional service. But it's for one who is serious, Krishna frustrates that desire constantly. And we always keep banging our head against the wall in our frustrated attempt to somehow or other make a deal with Krishna. Again, Krishna doesn't accept any deals. So here in this verse, it's very important to understand this very principle, that the Krishna consciousness means to satisfy Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains in his Nectar of Devotion that the philosophy or the definition of pure devotional service means that everything should be done anukulena Krishna silana, in directions of Krishna with desire to please Krishna. And as Prabhupada says, when you please Krishna, there's nothing more to attain to. Because when you please Krishna, you please yourself. Why is that? Because we're parts and parcels of Krishna. It's not that we're separate from Krishna. The idea of separateness is just a material misconception. It's an illusion. There's no question of separateness. Separateness comes by separate desire, and then separate interests, separate activities follow. But ultimately, in the absolute state, this living entity is always connected with the Supreme Lord in all situations. Even in the material world, we're not separate. The separateness is an illusion, because whatever we do, ultimately, it is connected to Krishna, and either through his material energy or ultimately through the Daivi Shakti, the spiritual energy. So in all cases, the living entity is connected with the Lord. So when we satisfy Krishna in devotional service, we satisfy ourselves. And that is the only way to become satisfied. To try to satisfy oneself separate than Krishna this is like when the hand is cut off from the body. The hand looks very nice. You may try to use the hand, but it has no functioning power because it's disconnected from the body. So when we cut ourselves off from Krishna and try to act independently, even within devotional service, we have the facility to act independently. We can choose whatever we want to do at all times. And that independent consciousness brings us ultimately to feeling disappointed, frustrated in our devotional service. So therefore, the prayer of the sincere devotee of the Lord is, my dear Lord, how can I serve you? How can I please you? What do you want from me? And what Krishna is asking from us is actually for our own good. When he asks something from the living entity, it's for the good of the living entity. It's not for his own benefit. Krishna doesn't need anything. He's Atmaram, he's self-contained. He's completely self-satisfied. In fact, no one can serve Krishna like the residents within the spiritual world. Krishna is being served by the topmost of all devotees in the most glorious and most wonderful way at all times. In his aspect of Narayan or even in Vrindavan. And they cannot think of anything but how to please Krishna. So Krishna is never in need at any time. He's being fully served by his pure devotees. But at the same time, he's interested not only in some, but every living entity. Krishna feels a sense of loss when he sees someone in the material world suffering. His loss is like a father who sees one of his sons disobeying, and because of the disobedience, he's suffering. And so he sees that as a compassionate, loving father sees, this person is suffering. So therefore, let me do whatever I can to stop his suffering. But like a father, you cannot ultimately force. He can chastise by giving material miseries. He can encourage by giving his mercy in different ways. But ultimately, the choice is up to the living entity to accept or reject in the ultimate issue. And when the living entity accepts, then ultimately he becomes happy. But you see, in material life, the living entity is always making plans according to what their perception is. As the living entity perceives what is good for them or not good for them according to their vision. And therefore, the non-devotees do things based on how it may calculate their interests. But in Krishna consciousness, when Krishna asks you to surrender, to do something, you can't tell whether it's going to, what is the outcome of that surrender. Whether it's going to make me happy or not, or even make me spiritually advanced or not, or whatever they're going to do. What is it going to do? But Krishna works that way, because the process of surrender is not, it's not a travel brochure. A travel brochure says, you go here, you see this, you can enjoy this, you can experience this, and you can meet these people. You can get so many things if you go to this place. Travel brochure. So they even highlight it to attract you. But Krishna says, surrender. And then you gotta surrender. What's in it for me? You get a chance to surrender. So that's devotional service. And that's a moment-to-moment consciousness. Going to Mangal Arati, it's a point of surrender. Coming to the temple for Bhagavatam quest, that's surrender. Doing our daily service every day, that's surrender. Every moment, every second, we have a chance to surrender. It's not like surrender is, it's like, okay, now somebody's asking me to do service so that I can surrender or not surrender. No, surrender is moment-to-moment. It's moment to moment. We can use every bit of our time to choose how to serve Krishna, or we can reject that and do what we want. This is Krishna consciousness. But we become satisfied, we become happy when we take on what Krishna wants. What does Krishna want? Krishna wants what the spiritual master is saying. The spiritual master gives the program for surrender. Chant the holy names of the Lord with attention, with the devotion every day. Come to the morning program. Everyone should come to the morning program. Srila Prabhupada was very strict about this principle. And no one should miss the morning program. And also, the evening program also. One of our acharyas in the ISKCON movement said, the morning program and the evening program and devotional service is like one complete sandwich. He says the bottom piece of bread is the morning program, and the middle, the substance is our devoted daily activities, and the evening program is the top piece of bread. So if you have, you can have an incomplete sandwich. So these are all parts of surrender. So we have a chance to surrender every moment in our devotional service. And the more we surrender, the more we get Krishna's mercy. Therefore, as you surrender, Krishna says, I reward you accordingly. And that is. But we don't trust Krishna. We still have our own plans. We still have our own ideas. How to execute devotional service. How to do it in such a way that, this is the best thing. But therefore, if we do have these ideas, these two things we should be consulted with higher authorities. If we act independently, we may be right and we may be wrong. But if we're not tasting the bliss of Krishna consciousness, that's an indication we're not right. Because Krishna consciousness is by nature blissful. It's blissful. Prabhupada said, if you're feeling happy and jolly in Krishna consciousness, you're in Maya. He said, Maya, jolly means joyful. Chanting is joyful. Dancing is joyful. Hearing Krishna consciousness philosophy is joyful. Eating Krishna prasadam is joyful. Whatever you do is joyful. Cleaning the floor is joyful. Worshipping the deity, it's all joyful. Kevala Ananda Kanda. That is the process of devotional service. And so if we're not experiencing at least some joy, of course, full joy comes when we become purified of all our material desires. But the process itself gives immediate happiness. There's immediate happiness simply by engaging in Krishna consciousness. And that comes by developing an attitude of favorable devotional service. When I was in Chalpati, and the temple, the ISKCON temple, which is oversaw by Radhana Swami, there's 52 brahmacharis living in the temple. And of course in India, ladies don't live in temples, generally, because that's the culture and custom. So they live outside with their families or friends, and they come to the temple. But those who live in the temple, they have the rule that when you come into the temple, you must follow the instructions of the temple authorities. You can't say no. Here's the line they draw, and this is the rules, this is the regulations, this is the procedures. If you say no, you have to leave. You can't say no. No one can stay that says no. Therefore, there's a harmonious bunch of devotees. Everybody is working enthusiastically serving. And everywhere you go, the energy is Krishna's service. And everyone feels happy, satisfied, enthusiastic in their service. Because it's when it's all-pervading, it's like Vaikuntha. And when you're there, it's like any guest who comes there, immediately they float along on that energy. It's so powerful. Immediately, as soon as people come into that energy. Because everyone surrenders. We don't have to develop love of God, we don't have to have any good qualities, but we should be at least surrendered. That we can do. Surrender to the process. Follow the process every day, stay engaged in devotional service. Keep ourselves fixed in our devotional service. That's all. Prabhupada said, when you do that, then you get Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy comes according to how much we are surrendered. That's all. The whole process is based on surrender. It's not based on material education, shastric knowledge, all these things. Some of the greatest shastric knowledge persons in our movement are gone today. Great learning, great preaching ability, why? Well, whatever the reason was, you can see that that's not the qualification. But the humble pot washers, those who are cleaning the floors, or doing the ordinary puja, or just, you know, daily, and sometimes you see years and years and years. I was just with one devotee, his name was Janani Vas. He's the pujari in Mayapur. Him and his brother Pankaj Yungri. And Prabhupada gave them the service in 1971 to take care of the deities, to stay with the deities. They're still doing the same service. They're pujaris for the last 29 years. They've been serving the deities there in Mayapur. Steady! Once in a while he goes out and go someplace, sometimes they go to the area around, but they're always with the deities, serving Sri Sri Radha Madhava. Fixed. Therefore, the deity worship there is very high standard. Very high standard. Deities or so. And it's not like the deities here. We have how many deities? 2, 4, 7, 8, 9. We have 11, 13 deities, right? Every day, 13 deities we dress? Approximately 13 deities. There are how many deities they have in Mayapur that dress every day? It's a lot. And there's eight Sakis, Radha Madhava, plus little Radha Madhava, plus there's a little Shaligram there also. There's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's the Panchatattva altar. There's Nrisingadev. There's Pallad. Huh? So many. Of course they have, I guess they have more pujaris also. But at the same time, everything is done first class. But the thing is, when you have qualified devotees who are dedicated, and everything is one. Here we have dedication too. The devotees here are very dedicated. I know it's one thing that is very, very important, not very important, but very, very regular here, is that the curtains always open on time. For Mangal Arati, for greeting of the deities, for the artis, they're very punctual. This is very important. Prabhupada wanted that. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, when he became in charge of the Jagannath Puri temple at one point in his life, he regulated the offerings to the very second. Before then, things weren't regulated. So regulation in deity worship is very important. Punctuality, simplicity, cleanliness, the three standards for deity worship. So here we also, we see every day when we open the temple, we open the curtains, the deities look so wonderful, they're dressed so nicely. The altar looks so beautiful, so clean. The deities always have wonderful garlands. Everything is done nicely. And when you have that, it's very inspiring. So why should we just limit that to the deity worship? That should be everywhere in the temple. Our cleaning, the bathrooms, our behavior in every aspect of our devotional service, our preaching, everything. When we have dedication, when we have surrender, and then the whole temple benefits. Everyone is like that on every level. So Krishna consciousness is a family. Whatever one person does affects another person. Don't think you're an island in yourself. If you're in class and you're sleeping in class, you're saying to the rest of the persons in class, if this class is boring, let me sleep. You're sending a message. We preach by our actions, yes. If we don't come to Mangalarti in the morning, or we miss the functions, we're saying, it's not worth it, I shouldn't go. You can go, and you should go, but not me. We preach by our example. We can speak so much, but our example is much higher than our words. So whatever we do, it affects everybody. It affects everybody. When you're enthusiastic to chant and dance and surf, it helps others also to become enthusiastic. When you're unhappy, when you're in Maya, then whoever you meet, you affect them with that same energy. So we should always try to see that whatever we do, it's not simply for our own, we're not an island in ourselves. Everyone has influence. Everyone has power. And especially in Krishna consciousness, it's like a unit, a big unit. And the more we work together as a group, the more everyone benefits. And ultimately, when Krishna is pleased, Srila Prabhupada said that, if you want to please me, simply cooperate. Work together to push on this Krishna consciousness movement. That is the highest principle of devotional service, cooperation. And cooperation means self-sacrifice. It means surrender. It means doing something sometimes which is not easy or pleasing to us. But that ultimately the success is there because Krishna is pleased by that sacrifice. That's the key in devotional service. Otherwise, if we just simply are concerned with our own devotional progress, then we don't get Krishna's mercy. Very little. It's hard to get Krishna's mercy that way. So here, Prabhupada ends this purport. It's very powerful. Last thing in the purport he says. And he makes it a point of success within the entire movement. He doesn't just say it. He says, the members of the Krishna conscious movement must be alert in regard to this point. Then their preaching of the Krishna conscious movement will be successful. What is that point? The point is that the demigods are always surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus the Lord is always anxious to satisfy their ambitions. Devotees engaged in devotional service must try to satisfy the senses of the Lord. So when we satisfy Krishna, everyone benefits. Not only the devotees benefit, but the entire world benefits. Everything. When Krishna is pleased, even people who are not connected with Krishna consciousness, just like Prabhupada used the example, when the rain falls, it falls everywhere. On the rocks, on the water, on the ocean, where there's no need for rain. When Krishna's mercy is there, many people benefit. Many living entities are benefited by that mercy. This is Krishna consciousness. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yeah, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.